Hi, everybody.
Welcome back to the Watermelon Seeds Podcast. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Ellie.
And today we are joined by Gunnar Edlund. Gunnar is a good friend of mine. We went to high school together, played hockey together.
Studied at UW-Madison, is the co-founder of CTM Productions, and is currently a associate of investment sales at Trinity Real Estate Investments.
And he is a very nice guy. He recently moved to Texas, so we wanted to have him on to kind of hear about his background and his life and his transition. So welcome to the podcast, Gunnar.
Thank you. I'm just so grateful to be here, and I really appreciate it. I'm excited for this conversation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we weren't like in immediate friend groups, but I would say that we spent a good amount of time through hockey together and around each other and whatnot. And in some ways we grew up together. I still remember, I don't know what we were like on, it was like maybe Bantams or Peewees. And it was like one of our first games or something. And after the game, you're like, oh, I'm having a birthday party with my friends at my house. You want to come over? And this was like in like middle school or something. I was like, sure. Like the first time we hung out outside of hockey. That just came to my mind. But
that's incredible. Yeah. That's awesome.
I remember you would make like you had a ramp and like a little hill with a jump for snowboarding in the backyard.
Oh yeah. The backyard snowboard park. Yes. Those were the days.
Yeah. No snowboards in Texas.
No, I know. Mm-hmm. I know. I got to get back to Minnesota or make a trip out to Colorado or something.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I bring that up to give a little background, I guess, on growing up. And I think a lot of people would say, but I would definitely say you growing up, you were very nice and likable. And my question for you is that something that like always came naturally to you, or who or how made that part of who you are?
Oh gosh. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course.
I would say definitely my parents. I think that they preached it a lot, right? And just the importance of being kind to everyone you come across, and you know, no matter their status or what they look like, and just the virtue of being generous and helpful and genuinely, you know, wanting to connect with people. But I think they didn't just talk it. I think they walked their talk as well. And that's huge. I feel like as a parent, you know, you can say all the right things, but if you're acting in a manner that's completely separate to what you're preaching, mm-hmm. I feel like as a child, you could lose the disconnect and the trust there. Mm-hmm. So I think just seeing how they treated others and the mentors that they encouraged that I look up to, really kind of set that, I guess, mentality for me and just how I wanted to live my life, in those same footsteps.
Mm. That's sweet. Yeah, awesome. Parents have such an influence on us. It's crazy. Even if you don't think about them often.
So true.
Yeah. So you kind of mentioned parents already, but who is a role model in your life, either from childhood or currently?
Yeah, that's so good. Oh gosh, that's a great question. I feel like I've had so many different ones. Mm-hmm. Even like I love to read self-help books, and I think of those authors as some of my mentors. I think of definitely my parents, kind of how I already mentioned. Mm-hmm. But I feel super blessed that I was introduced to Jesus at a really young age, mm-hmm. and I could learn how there was never any question of how do I want to handle this situation. It's just, you go to the Bible, there's so many lessons with how I wanted to structure my life and just continuing to strive to be more like Jesus, honestly.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Is there a book you're reading currently that has got you sucked in?
Oh gosh, I actually am reading. I'm reading Daring Greatly right now by Brené Brown. She's a super big author right now in that space, and I haven't dove into any of her books, but I finally did into this one. It's one of her most popular. Yeah, Daring Greatly, and there's been some great stuff in it. So I highly recommend.
What's been a
Wow.
takeaway?
I think one takeaway is, like, you always hear about gratitude, right? And being thankful and expressing that. But she put it in a different light and she almost changed the verbiage on it a little bit, which I've been practicing and really enjoying. And it's about scarcity and really what she says is, this is enough. Like that verbiage of this is enough. I think a lot of times we wake up and our first thoughts in the day are, oh, I don't have enough time in the day, or I don't, whatever it is. If this was changed about me, then I would be happier, or whatever it is. And she encourages us to, maybe we're in a great moment and we're looking around and we're just really happy and, saying this is enough. And then inwardly as well, if days where we don't feel like we're capable or deserving of love, to tell yourself that you are enough. And yeah, it's been really cool. I think, if you two are ever having a tough day in a relationship, she talked about that. It's like kind of looking at them and as a partner and being like, they're enough, right? And I'm enough too. So that's kind of been an interesting little thing I took away.
Wow.
Nice. Awesome.
That's not a little, that's like life-changing, I feel like, if you like really incorporate that. That's so good.
Yeah, because I think we all, right? We all try and be grateful, but this has been super powerful, I think. And just, it's really, it kind of strips expectations, right? When you're in a moment and you're like, wow, I feel fulfilled in that this is enough. So.
Especially in like our society where like comparison is so easy and like wanting more money or wanting more opportunities or more friends or like more whatever, and like realizing that what you have is enough, like being content in that. Super good.
Exactly.
Thanks for
Yeah.
sharing that.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Of course.
The nuggets from Gunner. I love it. I read Dare to
From
Lead.
Brené Brown.
I lit yeah,
Yes.
I read that a long time ago. I would have to think about it, but if I had yeah. Anyways, she's a great author. That's what I'm trying to say.
You have read a book of her? Oh,
Dare to Lead by
Dare to
Brené
Lead.
Brown. Yeah, that's another really good one. It's one of her
Good to
popular
know.
ones, but leadership.
Okay.
I like leadership books, so that's a good one. Anyways, thank you for
Definitely.
that tip. I think that it is, as well, is very important to make sure that you are content with where you're at, and gratitude is huge, very important. Okay. So hockey. We played hockey together. Hockey, I think, as I reflect, so now that I live in Madison, I've been going to the Badgers games. Because my brother, so they do this thing at the beginning. I'm sure you know they do this thing at the beginning of the year where you can like shoot a puck into a net and you get free tickets for the year.
Yes.
So I've been bumming free tickets all season long from people that
Nice.
haven't been able to go to the games. But every time I go to a game, I get a little bit sad because I think and reflect on my hockey journey. But then I think and reflect on that and be like, okay, well, I can't change the past. So how can I use this to learn and grow later in life? So, in that vein, what's something that you learn from hockey and what's something that you miss about hockey?
Oh gosh. Well, I'll start off by saying that's an awesome, mindset that you're spinning it to a positive and trying to see how you can reframe that and learn from it. Also, quick tidbit. I, for some reason, and it's supposed to be this easy ticket grab where you just shoot the puck into the net, I would miss the net. And it was so frustrating because you wait in that line and it's supposed to be this free kind of just fun, like shoot it and you'll pretty much guaranteed, and somehow I would miss. But anyway, Yes, so many lessons from hockey. I think just so many things, right? I think one thing is just the importance of commitments and, oh gosh, I really don't want to go to practice today, but doing hard things because you committed to a team was a huge lesson. I think I learned so many things from different coaches, and just being led by different people kind of shows you a lot of lessons about how you want to be a leader in the future. And back to the coaches that you had and who really stood out to you and why. Some specific examples that I can think of. Wes Walls, Doc, who we had as a coach, right, had that if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late. I think that's been a huge, huge lesson to me. It's a great life lesson. And then Vogie had so many great lessons. I think just how to have fun just throughout it all was a big takeaway I took from Vogie, and discipline there too. It's always a team sport, and if one person made a mistake that affected the whole team was gonna rally. And that was really cool. But I mean, there's so many, as you could, as I feel like you know as well, but
I
great
think,
memories.
a lot of fun times in the locker room. Probably shouldn't all be shared on the podcast,
True.
but it was very good times. As I reflect, kind of expanding, I think one thing that I've learned is like they're like. As I sit in these hockey games and I'm sad, I'm like, oh, why didn't I just spend an extra hour shooting pucks? Or like, why didn't I stay after practice just an extra half an hour every day? Like I could have been better. I could have done more. And I think that I've come to the conclusion that we need to, in our lives, find out what we're most passionate about and then just work as hard as we can at that. And if we're not passionate about it, just move on to the next thing. Because I think when we find what we're most passionate about, we'll have the most fun and we'll be able to find the most success in, because I believe that's part of our calling. So I don't know. That's one thing that I've been kind of reflecting upon as I think about hockey, but.
Dude, I love that. Yeah, I felt the same way when just knowing the things I know now and looking back at the hockey career and even on the leadership side, we were both in positions of leadership senior year, right? For the team, and just how I could have been a better leader. And yeah, how much more work and effort, I think you don't realize that, but at the same time, I guess it's good to forgive ourselves and realize that we were young and take the lessons and move forward.
Yeah, thinking of, that was another thing. I was thinking about leadership and what I would have done differently that senior year. This is one thing I would have done differently. I at the beginning of the year, I would have taken every person out to lunch individually, one on one. I never like did something like that, and I wish I would have.
I like it. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think,
No.
Ellie? This
Well,
non-sports lady.
yeah. I think it's interesting to hear about like what you learned from different coaches because it's funny because you didn't talk about an actual hockey skill when you're talking about things that have stuck out. So yes, that's what coaches are doing, but like the character you learn from them and like the commitment to something is so much more important than the actual sport, you know?
That's a
So
great point.
I thought that was interesting. And then I thought, Joseph, what was interesting is the part that you wanted to change about your leadership wasn't, oh, you would have been better at certain drills or you would have been better at like even like a certain game or I don't know, whatever people do, huddles, I don't know. But what you wanted to do is like relationally meet with the people on your team. So like for both of you going forward, it's so obvious that hockey is like more than just a sport. It's like it taught you character lessons and how to lead and how to like appreciate older people's wisdom too and like apply those things to your life. So, pretty good stuff here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's a great note. And I yeah, that's really powerful. And I think just why sports can be important in people's lives and why it can mean so much to people. But I really like that level that you think you could have connected with just outside of the sport, Joseph, and knowing that you're there and caring for them is huge.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, I'm gonna go off script here a little bit based off the questions I sent you, but I also want to talk about CTM a little bit. So Gunnar is the co-founder of CTM Productions, and I kind of want to dive into that journey, how you got started doing that, and how you've been able to grow that brand and just have fun through that.
Yeah, that's yeah, that was a really big part of my life through high school, and it did start in early high school. What started was just having fun out on the lake, and we had this passion for photography and videography. So we would take the products that we were using, and we would take photos and videos for them, and then we would send them to brands literally and just say, if this is what we like to do. Can we take photos of your products, and in return, could we maybe get a free one next summer? And we would start to get a little bit of traction with, a small brand, and then that would snowball into the next summer, and it just honestly kept snowballing to the point where I think the biggest, like, whoa, we made it breakthrough was actually a brand sending us on a all expense paid for trip. So
Wow.
yeah, I won't like, and we are still very small. We're not anything crazy, but that was kind of a cool, like, whoa,
Yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. So it was cool to see how the efforts can compound and you can develop the relationships with the brands and
Yeah.
just the passion for showing product in a lifestyle, natural v visual was what we wanted to convey.
That's so fun. Do you still like, is CTM Productions still active?
Yeah, so it is a little bit. It was really hard because I knew that I was going to sacrifice a lot of that when I made the move. So that's honestly what made moving one of the hardest decisions of my life. But I knew I wanted to pursue commercial real estate, and I knew I wanted to try a new city. So I felt that if either of those things didn't work out, I could pick it back up. So it's still there, but I think it could be at a faster velocity of growth and scale if I were to stay behind. But I think now it's more just what fun can we have with it still, where
Yeah.
it's more of just a fun.
Like a passion project,
Yes,
not like
exactly.
a full career. That's good.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's super cool.
And my partner who does it with me, he actually got a job, a full-time job, right when I moved. Was kind of the time that he was needing to graduate college and kind of find his next step. So through that CTM, we had a relationship with a brand, a really good relationship, and he actually went on to work for them. So
Wow.
yeah, so it's cool how that opened the door for
That really
him.
did, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's really happy with where he's at, and he
Good.
can, yeah. So he's, I mean, without him, he's the talent behind it all. So it's good to see him continuing to cultivate those strengths and talents that he has in that realm.
That's awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, so we have gotten a picture of high school you, but let's learn about college you. How did you enjoy Madison? What is like a favorite memory or experience that you had there?
Gosh, Madison was amazing. I really loved the school and had so much to offer, I feel like, for any type of person. But I mean, I would truthfully say those 4 years had some of the highest, right, and like lowest parts of my life for sure.
Really?
Yeah, but definitely positive, like overall, just so fun. I'm trying to think of specific moments. I feel like this is kind of a cop-out answer, but I heard this recently, in terms of thinking back to like a loved one that's no longer here. It's you think about you almost think about the mundane in between moments, like maybe how they laughed or how they screamed at the TV, you know, you miss. And that's kind of how I feel when I reflect about my experience at Madison, is those mundane moments with the new friends that I made, just waking up on a Sunday morning, going to class on a Monday when no one wants to be there, but everyone's kind of sharing that same experience. I feel like,
Yeah.
yeah, so I wish I had like a grand story for you, but I truthfully do miss the things that happened in that bubble of campus, right?
That's so true. I think back to like my college, which was not that far removed from me, but like the simple walk to like a certain building like is so imprinted in my memory, or like sitting at like a certain table in the library, like those things are like so significant, even though they're just like random little small memories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like definitely some sandwich shops that I miss on campus, but
Yes.
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. As I think about like enjoying the place that you're at, but maybe having this inkling or this calling to go somewhere else. And you mentioned like that your transition to moving to Texas was the hardest decision you've ever made. And probably part of that was because you really enjoyed Madison, you really enjoyed Minnesota, and you didn't really want to leave that. So, kind of transitioning into out of college into you now moving to Texas, how did you come to terms with knowing that you were called to go to Texas, and how were you okay with leaving a place that you loved so much?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think for me, it was understanding that while it felt like a huge move and it felt permanent in a sense, just reminding myself that I can always move back. And I had really supportive friends that reminded me of that when I would talk through it with them about, you know, I'm kind of struggling with the decision. They're like, hey man, I mean, it's a job and it's an apartment. Like you can always move back. And that gave me a huge, huge sense of comfort to make the leap. And I'm really glad I did ultimately. And I think that reminder gave me the courage to do it.
Good. I'm so glad. Now that you've been there for, is this, did you move this past summer? Yeah, you
I
said
did.
8 months, right? Okay. So
Yeah.
now that you've been there for 8 months, like, is this a place you see yourself kind of building roots? Are you a Texan now? Are you moving back sometime soon? How are you feeling?
Yeah, gosh, I do love so many aspects of Texas. It's, I think I could definitely see myself staying here for a while. One thing of I was kind of a homebody, and one thing about moving and getting out of my comfort zone was I realized that it doesn't it's not too painful, and now I'm way open to exploring maybe even other cities. And just I would just say I have a much more open mindset about where I'm living, and I'm just excited, and I'll kind of just see where the wind blows me in a sense. But for now, yeah, I could easily see 4 years pass by and I've been in Austin the whole time. I think
That's cool.
it'll just fly. So we'll have to see. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
When we
I'm
have you
glad.
back on the podcast, so we can see if you're still in
Yeah,
Austin.
literally. Yeah.
Yeah,
Or
that would be
somewhere
great.
else. Who knows?
Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
cool.
I do think long term, I mean, I do feel called back to Minnesota eventually, or the northern Midwest. I think just, yeah, I don't know. Part of me still thinks you can't beat it.
The four seasons, yeah, the nature is beautiful.
Exactly, exactly.
What's been the hardest part about adjusting to your new job?
Ooh. I'll say that's a good question, because I do feel very fortunate that I'm in a position to say I love my new job so much. And it's honestly hard to think. A big transition was in my marketing corporate job, which I did previous to commercial real estate. It was very, this day is going to be a little bit more relaxed based on my workload, and tomorrow's going to be, or this week's going to be relaxed. Next week, quarter's ending, it's going to be a little bit more frantic. In this position, it's like you go to bed knowing the next day is going to be 110% every, it's like,
Really?
yeah.
Oh
And
my goodness.
yeah, so it's, you do have to, I think, love this job and love what you do, because you can quickly fall. You can quickly lose momentum and lose steam if you're not in a good mindset. But yeah, just showing up every day and truly giving it your best every day has been a challenge, but I think it's been cool at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you love it, 'cause yeah, to give like that amount of effort every day definitely takes like you have to have drive behind that.
Right. Yeah. You have to have passion and a strong why,
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. I think that goes back to the lesson that I've been learning about, like, being passionate about what you're doing. And I think, like I said with hockey, if I'm not going to say if I was or wasn't super passionate about hockey, but if it truly was something that I was all in on, then that extra time spent where I might have been missing out on something my friends were doing, like, wouldn't have mattered. Like, I would have been fine doing that. And I think it sounds to me like you, Gunnar, have found something that you're really passionate about, and the time just flies by. You're enjoying every second of it, and it's been great so far. So that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. And just as you said, there's definitely that sacrificial component to it, where your friends are gonna go out for drinks after work, but you have to stay back and work, but you like to do it, and so it makes that saying no a little bit easier, for sure.
Yeah. Ellie, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Are there any places that Gunnar needs to go in Texas?
Oh my
Yes.
goodness, that's a good question. Okay. Oh, have you been to Round Rock Donuts yet?
No.
Okay, you have to go to Round Rock Donuts. They have a
Oh.
Texas-sized donut. It's literally like huge. I wouldn't recommend getting that one unless you have friends to help you. But they're just like a classic glazed donut. What else in Texas? I'm sure you've been to like 6th Street and like South Congress.
Yes,
Okay, yeah, that's like
those
classic.
spots.
Have you seen the bats under the bridge?
No, I have
You
not.
gotta do that. I think it's like August. I wanna say it's like early fall.
So,
That might be wrong.
okay, so that's where everyone goes to the bridge, and
Yes.
then around dawn, right? All these bats,
Dusk, yeah, like when the sun's setting.
dusk, yes. All these bats, what, come flying out from under the bridge?
Yes. Flying out down the river. Literally, they just followed the river. It's like a ton of bats. It's actually kind of scary.
Dang,
That
But
would
it's be. fun. Yeah.
So occasionally in that, what season is it again?
I want to say it's fall, but
Yes,
I'm not sure.
that sounds right, because I moved in the summer, and then right around fall, I think you're right, I would drive along that bridge and there would be crowds
Yes, people
lining.
line the bridge, literally.
Yeah, I just haven't had
Dang.
a I haven't had a chance to sit actually sit in
You
on
have
it,
to
but
watch, yeah. That's
yeah,
so funny.
okay.
Okay, and the last one is Barton Springs. Have you been to Barton Springs yet?
Oh, like the pool.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
Oh,
I
good.
have.
Okay. That's so interesting. It's like naturally, it's like a naturally temperature is like always like 70 degrees or something. So it feels nice and cool in the summer, but then in the winter, it's like still that temperature. I'm pretty sure. And there's salamanders also, which is kind of
Oh, I didn't know
weird.
about the
Yes.
salamanders.
Yes. They like live at the bottom of like the limestone. I
Oh,
don't
okay,
know.
sweet. Yeah, it was a great summer spot, obviously,
Yeah,
this
for
summer.
sure.
It was like a record 100 degrees for
Oh, I'm
60 something
sure.
days.
You
Yeah.
poor thing.
Barton Springs helped, so
Yes, that's good.
sure the
Definitely.
weekends on the lake helped too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Frequented Lake Travis for sure.
Ah, Lake Travis. Oh,
Nice.
the Oasis.
I caught the most beautiful sunset at the Oasis.
It's
Yeah.
so beautiful.
Yeah, that
Wow.
rest, yeah, right on the lake, such a good
Yes.
view. Great spot.
Wow, this is bringing me down memory lane.
I hope Sveva is listening right now.
Yes, all my Texas friends. That's
Yeah.
funny.
So what does a day in the life look like for Gunnar these days?
Oh gosh, nothing too exciting, I'll tell you that. Wake up probably around 6:30, and then try and get to the office between 7 and 7:30, and then I'm pretty much hitting the phones and working until, oh gosh, these days probably like
Wow.
8 or 9 on average. But after 5, I'm like getting dinner usually, or
Yeah.
sometimes on my phone for way too long, but I'm still at the office. You kind of hit that wall, I feel like, but I'll try and get some last loose ends tied up and then come home and like read, or I've been getting into the guitar, as you know, Joseph. So practicing the guitar, and then yeah, just going. I'm sometimes so tired, I just go right to bed and do it all again the next day. But sorry, it's not too exciting,
That is, that actually is so
yeah.
interesting now. So my question is, do you have a separate work phone or is it your own phone?
It is my own phone,
Okay.
actually.
I don't know why I was wondering.
Yes.
I just heard of people that have like two cell phones and that's so weird.
Yeah. No, it's just mine.
Okay.
And I have had some crazy phone calls, yeah, as you
Really?
can imagine. Oh gosh,
What?
you wouldn't believe it.
What's your story?
Well, besides just getting absolutely sworn off, every bad word in the English language,
No.
getting yelled at. I had this one lady tell me that she was like the director of happiness, and that and I kept on like needing to be happier. So by the end of the phone call, I'm like, hey, this is God. All my coworkers like heard me, and they like all set down their headsets and they were just listening and they were cracking up.
That's
And
hilarious.
yeah, it was insane, but they
Wow.
applauded me for just really trying to stick it through.
Yeah, that's so
Nice.
funny.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah, there are some strange encounters cold
That's for
calling for
sure.
sure.
I bet. That is so funny.
Yeah.
Man, wow. Well, it's been so fun learning about lots of aspects of your life. So, one question we ask every guest is, what has been a defining moment in your life and how has it shaped you? It's a big one.
Yeah. Gosh, I think along the theme that we've been discussing today is probably the move. Just stepping out of my comfort zone and making the leap, right? Starting a new job, which really made me realize how passionate I am for this job and how much I really didn't like my last job, even though I felt, I guess, I never thought that I was unhappy about my job, but this new job really opened my eyes to how much I am enjoying this current one.
Good. I'm so glad.
So I think just right going through college and not really knowing where what you want to do, but I was given great advice. Like, it's just experimenting is the best way to find your true calling. So I feel very grateful that I moved too. I am really happy to be here. So I feel like just that settling feeling has been very transformative and given my life a lot of purpose in the career sense of things. And then I think just the mindset switch of being more open to trying new cities and the people that I've met along the way. It's just been quite the journey.
Yeah, that is so
That's
very
awesome.
transformational, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. So it's been, you learn a lot about yourself as well when you move to a new city with not a lot of new friends and the, yeah. So I would probably say the move.
It's a
Nice.
good
one.
And then along the same lines as looking back, what's something or what are you most proud of?
Ooh, gosh, that's a good question. I think I'm happy to, I would say a mentality that I have is something that I'm happy that I have, and I guess I could say I'm proud that I don't have a victim mindset. I think in this day and age, so many people fall into the trap of, I would say, yeah, the victim mindset. I'm stuck in this hardship because of this and this, or, there's so many excuses that you could have, and definitely some of them are valid. But I think a lot of people, do fall trap to that and fall victim to that victim mindset ultimately, which can just be the thief of joy in life. And I think that, yeah, that I think that's something that I'm proud I have because I recognize that it probably gives me a lot of joy in life to know that I do feel in control and I feel accountable in a sense to getting myself out of situations where I am unpleased with, maybe.
That's huge. That I think it's easy to think about, like, oh, what's one thing I'm proud of that I've accomplished? But the mindset you have in life is what helps you accomplish all the things that you accomplish. So I think that's actually even more, like, that's definitely something to be proud of.
Yeah,
Sweet.
totally. For someone that is in the quote unquote victim mindset right now, what's a practical step they can be taking to kind of step outside of that realm and maybe find some more joy in their life?
Ooh, gosh. I feel like, part of me is like, I'm still trying to practice that mindset every day. And maybe it isn't that I'm proud to, maybe it's not something you have, but maybe it's more something you practice to stay away from as well. So I think if there's an aspect, whether it's a work output, a project deliverable or not, maybe it's something that you don't, I would say just find something that you can find accountability over, right? And you can say that I impacted this or this is my responsibility, I think would be a good way to kind of start changing your mind. It would be a baby step into being, that whether this happened for the worse or the better, it was my responsibility. And I think that would be pretty powerful, maybe.
Taking ownership, that's a good one.
Yeah,
Yeah. I
exactly.
like how you said too, it's like I don't remember exactly how you said it, but in my mind I interpreted it as like a moment by moment battle. And so like it's not something that anyone's ever going to be perfect at, but you just have to constantly and actively choose to say, I'm going to try to make the most of this moment and the situation. So that's awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Now, looking ahead, what is one dream you have for yourself? Could be something you're thinking about for like this next year or many years to come. What's a dream you have?
Gosh, I think that I'm just looking forward to giving back in a way. I think so many people have poured resources and time and advice into me as I begin my career and kind of essentially go into the transition into an adult, but just through my childhood. And I'm excited to get to a point in life where I can start to give back my resources and time. And I really don't know what exactly that looks like, but I do just feel grateful for everything that everyone's done in my life. And I'm looking forward to giving back. But I guess that's not too specific, but
That's
if that
okay.
makes sense.
No, that definitely does. Yeah.
Yeah. Servant-hearted. I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited for, gosh, there's so many milestones. I feel like we're so young that so many things. What about you? What are you looking forward to?
Ooh.
You want to go first, Miss
Me?
Eliana? Yeah.
A dream or something I'm looking forward to. I think I'm excited to graduate from my master's degree and see how I can use it in a nonprofit setting. Because I've like thought about that for so long, but I don't really think I'll know what it really looks like until I'm in a job. Because I've just been doing school for so long that I like have a school brain. So I'm excited to like transition the knowledge I've learned to actually help communities.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that has to be so exciting to see all the hard work you've put in to actually, making an effort outside. That's awesome.
What about
And
you,
I
Joseph?
think for me, it's a tough question. I like to say I really like to ask the questions, but I never like to answer them.
I kind of put you on the spot.
Yeah, no, you're good. I think that I'm excited, no matter where I am, just to continue to plant roots and like meet more people and try new things and go to travel to new places and get a better understanding of my surroundings and just immerse myself in the people and cultures that I'm around.
That's awesome.
Well,
Yeah.
I love that.
whether
And
in
then,
Austin or Minnesota or anywhere else.
yeah, who knows? I got a trip to Denver, so that'll be fun. Maybe I'll learn something new there. We'll see.
Ooh, what's in Denver?
Gabe Urbans. I guess, I don't know, but he's gonna be on the podcast in a couple of weeks. So I'm
Oh,
gonna put his
sweet.
name in there. Yeah, Gabe just moved to Denver and I'm gonna go visit him in January for a ski trip. So a bunch of the guys are going down there.
Fun. I miss Gabe and all those guys. Definitely, definitely tell them I said hi.
I will. Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Also, this is another random thing, but my mom's college best friend is from Australia, and then over COVID, her son came to America because he couldn't find a job because he's a pilot because all their airports were shut down. So he came and got a job here in America, and he lives in Denver as well. So I'm gonna see him too when I'm there. So that'll be good.
Nice. Did you know him before you go see him, or will this
Yeah.
be
Yeah. So
okay?
he we've he's been to we went on a few trips in America with his family before. We have never had the pleasure of going over to Australia, at least not yet. But he also lived at my parents' house when I lived there for like 3 months when he was just starting out here, trying to find a job and whatnot. So we got to spend a good time together and all that fun
Okay.
stuff.
Great. Well, that'll be great to reconnect with him then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any travel plans for Christmas? Do you get to be back in Minnesota to see family at all?
I will be. Yes, I will be.
Nice.
And my sister, who lives in London, will be flying in with her boyfriend,
Oh, wow.
yeah, who I have not yet met. And he's never,
Oh my goodness.
yeah, so this is his first trip to Minnesota. So we'll be doing all the things.
That's such an
Nice.
exciting, wow. You have fun things happening this month.
Yeah,
We'll try and have
definitely.
snow for you by then.
Yeah, I
They're not,
hope.
it's not doing so well so far.
Oh, no.
It's okay. We have time. We'll get it for you. And the London boy, he needs to see it.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of my coworkers, his girlfriend goes to the London Business School, and she actually just got to Madison yesterday. So she made the whole
Wow.
trek to spend a month here in Madison. But that's a cool connection.
Wow.
I'll meet the
Yeah.
London people. Wow.
Yeah.
So fun.
Wow. Fun.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for all of your wisdom today and sharing about your life. It's been so fun getting to know you.
Yeah. No, I hope I hope I delivered, something, but
Oh, definitely.
yeah, there's been a lot of takeaways for myself in this podcast. So again, we really appreciate you being on, and I would love to pray for you if that's okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, sounds good. Dear Lord, I just pray over this conversation and this day. I thank you for everything you have graciously given us and the love that you have for us. I thank you for your son, Jesus, that he came, he lived, died, and resurrected for us and for everything that we get to do. And I thank you that you choose to use us each and every day through that. As Gunnar is now in Texas, I pray that you just watch over him and guide him and lead him through his job and through the relationships. And I pray that you put the people in his life that you want him to meet and just build relationships with. And I pray through work that you give him the words to say when he's on these cold calls and the people on the other end of the phone aren't upset or frustrated, but they're receptive and willing to have conversations. And I pray if he needs to be happier, be happier on these calls, whatever the director of happiness wants. Anyways, but yeah, I just pray that you watch over him and he's able to feel very connected in this community, in this transition, and still able to stay connected with his friends from Minnesota and all around the world. And yeah, I pray for those listening as well that this conversation can be fruitful for them. And if they're dealing with hard things or a tough decision that they're walking through, I pray that the advice shared can be fruitful and good, I guess. I don't know what I'm saying, but that's all. In your name, I pray. Amen.
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 I love it.
Nice.
Thank you, Joseph.
Yeah, of
And
course. Thanks for being on.
before we sign off here, I just wanted to say, again, thank you so much for having me. And I just think it's so cool what you two are doing. It takes a lot of hard work, but it's such a cool story about how, Ellie, your teacher had that idea of the watermelon seeds
Yes.
and how you took that as inspiration to wanting to just hear people's stories and a little bit
Thanks.
about them, how you mentioned you truly can't capture someone's whole story, but it's such a cool objective with what you two are doing here. And I wish you
Thanks.
the best of luck moving forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
It means
Yeah.
a lot.
It's been great having you on. I hope you have a great and productive week at work this week.
Yes.
Thank
And
you
get those
so
deals
much.
closed. Yes, you got
Yes.
it.
All right.
It's been super fun.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you have a great week as well. Until next week. And please leave us a review and say all the nice things you can if you like this podcast, because it really would help us a lot. All right. Ellie, ready? Bye,
Everybody.
everybody. Have a good week.